kind enough to join us this morning, professor of political science at the University of Akron, one of our political analysts on the morning show, and I always appreciate his time with us. It's Dr. David Cohen. I reached out to David because this is right in his wheelhouse, I should say, as the Democrats are lining up to make a run for 2028. And there are a lot of personalities, and of course, we'll be sifting through those in the years to come, right? And David, thanks for joining us on the show, and they're already getting in line, aren't they?
Good morning, Ray. Yeah, they are. This is the part of the stage of the process that's called the invisible primary, where it really essentially happened the day after the election for the losing party, and continues on for 3 years until we get to election year. And so this is the part of the process where you have potential presidential candidates floating their name out, going to visit Iowa and New Hampshire and other places, and going to state fairs, meeting with people, and just kind of sending up the trial balloons to see if maybe they get any traction. And, you know, they may start even forming a presidential exploratory committee, which allows them to raise some money. And they're thinking about it. I mean, there are some potential candidates that I think we all know that are absolutely going to run. And there are some that are thinking about it, and they're flirting with the process.
So let's get into that. And I guess the first name I wanted to come in your direction, at least what you're hearing, is the former Vice President Kamala Harris, who, of course, was on the ticket last go-around before losing out to President Trump. What is she thinking these days?
Well, she's been really quiet since the election, and I think exceedingly so. So I'm not sure that anybody really knows what she's thinking or if she's made a decision yet. She absolutely, it wouldn't surprise me, let's put it this way, if she decides to run for president again. She may decide to run for California governor, or she may just decide to retire from politics, or wait until a Democrat wins and hope to be appointed as Secretary of State or something. So we don't really know. If she gets in, she's absolutely going to be a contender.
With us is Dr. David Cohen, professor of political science, certainly at the University of Akron. A lot of names that you're hearing, David, and certainly we could go name by name by name, but I really wanted you to center in on a couple of ones that you're paying close attention to. Obviously, the Shapiro from Pennsylvania. We hear Gretchen Whitmer, Pete Buttigieg. But talk about some of the names that you've heard that are maybe seriously taking a look at this.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you can break it down to, like, first-tier and second-tier candidates, and then you can also break it down to, like, who are the governors, who are the senators, who are the, you know, the other people that are running. And I think, you know, for a contender, first of all, I think you're going to see a lot of Democratic governors running, which hasn't been the case recently. And I think you have to look at Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, who's absolutely going to be a contender. You know, he has a national name recognition. He's one of the Democrats that has been really prominent in standing up to Trump and pushing back against the Trump administration. You mentioned Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, will be another contender. Tim Walz, the vice presidential running mate of Kamala Harris and the current governor of Minnesota. I think it's pretty clear based on, you know, the speaking tour and the listening tour that he's done, that he is trying to make himself into a national candidate and run for president as well. Gretchen Whitmer had a lot of, you know, momentum, and everybody thought she was going to be a real contender. That incident that happened in the Oval Office a couple months ago, where Trump basically embarrassed her and she hit her face behind her portfolio, I think that hurts her a lot. And it's, you know, she's going to have to overcome that that disastrous photo op if she wants to make a run. J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, has been, I think, very outspoken against the Trump administration. I think it's pretty clear that he's going to make a run for president as well. Senators, some of the names that we're pretty familiar with, such as Cory Booker, who ran for president in 2020, I think he's probably going to run again. Mark Kelly, who is a senator from Arizona and was a contender for being Kamala Harris's running mate in 2024. I think he's probably jumping in. Chris Murphy, senator from Connecticut, and then kind of a newcomer, the new senator from Michigan, Alyssa Slotkin, who was a representative who's been kind of out front and trying to redefine the Democratic Party. I think she's absolutely a contender. And then one other person, Pete Buttigieg, the former Secretary of Transportation. I think for sure he's going to jump into the race.
David, let me ask you this. One name, and you mentioned him there, and he's starting to become more and more out front and being vocal, and many people are saying he is seriously going to take a run at this, and it's the center, Cory Booker. How do you look at him, and is he a viable candidate?
Oh, I think he's absolutely a viable candidate, and it's interesting because Cory Booker was really kind of like a household name a few years ago, and then he kind of dropped off people's radar a little bit. And then he, a couple months ago, he had the kind of the talking filibuster that kind of put him in the news. He's been pretty vocal now in this in the second Trump administration from his Senate platform. So I think he's absolutely a viable candidate. The problem is for all these people, there's going to be a huge amount of candidates running. Unlike what we've seen for a couple of election cycles, and it's just going to be very competitive. It's going to cost a lot of money. And we don't really know how the dust is going to settle because there really isn't like a true front runner, which has been the case in the last few election cycles.
Well, this is Dr. David Cohen, professor of political science at the University of Akron. One thing, David, and I'll let you expand on this, the candidate's going to have to be able to grab that one third and then really motivate that middle third to have a viable shot at winning the White House. One person I've been reading about who does a lot of bipartisan work and seems to be successful on both sides of the fence is Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania. How do you look at him, and do you like what he stands for going forward? Is he a good candidate?
Yeah, he's a very articulate speaker. He is somebody that is unafraid to kind of stand up to the opposition. He's somebody as a governor. Governors have the advantage of, being the chief executive in their state, and, if it's divided government, having to put together bipartisan coalitions to get things done. And so that's something that he can very much talk about. And I agree that, you have to appeal to those independents in the middle of the political spectrum, maybe try and peel off a few of the other party as well. But I think, one thing that the Harris campaign wasn't able to do in 2024 was to motivate their base. And I think that whoever the Democrat candidate is, they have got to get their base excited and to make sure, that some of them don't stay home, to make sure that, every one of those people that should be voting for the Democratic side gets out there and votes. And so it really is a balancing act that a candidate has to do, because you have to motivate your base, but you also have to appeal to the middle of the political spectrum and those undecided if you want to win this thing.
David, we got a long way to go, certainly, on this conversation. But here in summer of 2025, you personally, and you follow this every day of your professional life, a name or two that you are intrigued by that maybe you like right now?
I do think that the Democrats are probably going to end up with a governor. Governors tend to be pretty successful at this whole presidential candidate thing because they can make that argument that they've already got that executive experience that a member of the legislature doesn't. And they also lack the long legislative records that can be used to criticize a member of Congress, when the opposition starts shooting those 30-second ads. So I would really look at governors. I think that some of the people we have to watch are Gavin Newsom from California. He's got a huge platform. as the governor of the largest state in the country. And, you know, California is bigger than most countries in the world. I think, you know, J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, again, I'm governor of a huge state. I think Governor Shapiro, Josh Shapiro, who we just talked about, and Governor Tim Walz, I think, from Minnesota. I think those four are, well, and I forgot one, Andy Beshear, the governor of Kentucky, is kind of a dark horse in this thing. Kentucky is a pretty small state, but Beshear has had a lot of good press over the last couple of years. And the fact is, he is a governor of a red state, and he is kind of, beat all the odds by becoming a two-term governor of a very red state. So I would look to the governors, and I would look to those five.
All right, David, we got a lot of conversation on this yet to come for sure. Thanks for great insight, my friend. Always appreciate you carving out some time.
Appreciate it, Ray.